No, it sounds like it was amazing.
Thank you, Jessica. Welcome, everybody, to the March 25th, 2015 meeting of the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation. We've got a lighter agenda today. We're going to start off technically with taking the first bill, and we're going to move that over to rules. See what happens with that later on. So I will open the work session on Senate Bill 615. The chair moves Senate Bill 615 to be... moved to the Senate Committee on Rules and Elections.
The amendments.
I do that. Discussion on motion. Is there any objections to Senator Monroe?
Yeah, is that going to be with a positive recommendation?
We're just going to move it without a recommendation.
We're not going to chime in and say we like it or don't like it?
No, that's how we're going
to
move.
We're going to choose not to do that today.
Okay, Mr. Chair. You're okay. The boss.
Any objections? Okay. 615 is moved to the Committee on Rules and Elections. Now we'll move on down. We will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 141. And we'll start off with a panel. Marsha, you want to bring up your troop?
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Afternoon. I guess it's afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Marshall Koba, here today representing the Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon. And I'd like to point out behind me is probably one of the biggest groups of agents turnout since I've been involved with the Liquor Association, responsible for selling $1.1 billion worth of distilled spirits in the state. If they would raise their hand, I'd appreciate
it. I didn't get you to introduce them.
So we've got a good turnout of agents here today. I'd like to thank Senator Beyer for your leadership on OLCC issues over the last couple of years. It's been very impressive. And we'd also like to thank OLCC leadership, Chair Patridge and Director Marks for the good working relationship we have with them.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Monroe?
Yeah, with all the liquor agents here, you know, those folks up in Washington that want to get their cheap booze that have to pay those high prices now because they privatized, you know, how are they going to find a liquor store that's well manned?
We got our people.
I don't think that's a problem.
Before you today, Senators, is Senate Bill 141, and for us, very simply, it's security. We believe it gives security to the owners to invest and to invest in their stores to for better stores, better consumer experiences. We think there's security for the system. Talking about adding investment for years to the system, and anything that helps stores will help the system. We think it's security for the safe and secure retailing of spirits. Senator Monroe mentioned Washington State. High theft is a major concern up there right now. And it's also security for the hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for state and local governments in the state. And with me today are two leaders of the Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon, Salim Noorani and Steve Brown. I'll turn it over to them. Thank you.
Mr. Noorani.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. My name is Salim Noorani, and I'm a liquor store owner with stores in Corvallis and in Springfield. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of three amendments. Senate Bill 141. SB 141 adds security to our businesses and allows store owners the confidence to make continued investment in our stores. SB 141 is important to each individual store owner, but also is a significant policy improvement for the entire liquor system in Oregon. To give you a little background on the issue, a newly appointed liquor store owner is required by OLCC rules to pay a goodwill or buyout equal to 4% of the average annual gross sales to the retiring store owner whose outstanding evaluated liquor store is being purchased. A goodwill payment for an average annual sale of $2 million amounts to $80,000. This payment is just the start. The fixtures, computer system, security system, and other essentials required for the operation of the business could add another $25,000 to $30,000. The new store agent is also required to present a plan for updating and modernizing the store upon takeover. The remodel can be as high as $50,000 to $80,000. The total investment for a new agent can range from a low of $130,000 to $180,000 for an average store. This does not include non-liquor inventory to stock the store. Most of us do not have that kind of capital readily available. We may need to invest from our savings, take out a second mortgage on our homes, a bank loan, and or borrow from family and friends to start the business. We are still very excited to get into the business because we feel we are building a secure future. Once the loans are paid off, which may take up to 10 years, we can slowly start saving for our children's college tuition and an eventual retirement. It is quite normal to pay goodwill to acquire an existing business. The business has a value that one can sell down the road and recoup the original investment, and hopefully more by building the business and increasing sales. Unfortunately, for a liquor store in Oregon, we are required to pay a goodwill, but have no guarantees whatsoever that the value of our investment is protected for the future. Let me give you a couple examples. Number one, OAR 845-015-190, Section 12, states verbatim, no contract rights in buyout. No agent shall have any entitlement to or expectation of receiving any buyout. The institution and continuation or termination of the buyout program constitutes unilateral regulatory action by the commission and gives no agent any contractual right or expectation in any buyout payment. The commission reserves the right to repeal or modify this rule or otherwise terminate the buyout program at any time. Point two, if the commission or the legislature decides tomorrow to change the current model of retailing distilled spirits in Oregon and privatizes the system, most grocery stores would qualify for a license to sell distilled spirits. There are over 750 grocery stores with a footprint of 10,000 square feet that will qualify for distilled retail license. Point three, the grocery industry tried to mount a liquor privatization measure unsuccessfully last year. We are well aware of their keen interest in bringing about such a change. We believe that they will continue working towards privatizing liquor sales in Oregon. If any of the above scenario plays out, the number of liquor outlets would quadruple in Oregon. If this were to happen and more than 1,000 liquor outlets were to open, what would happen to our current liquor store sales and the value of our business investment? Who would be willing to buy our business and pay anything even close to what we were initially required to pay? I ask you to put yourself in our shoes and see the dilemma we are in. Where is the fairness in this equation? The liquor store owners work hard and diligently, providing good customer service, monitor closely that no minors are allowed access to alcohol, and generate a lot of revenue for the state. Are we being unreasonable in asking that our investment be protected? This bill clearly defines the condition under which the state of Oregon would protect our investment. It will not cost the state any additional sum to support this bill. If a privatization scenario comes about in the future, there will be no need for the assets which Liquor Commission owns for retailing distilled spirits. The monies from the sale of those assets would be more than enough to compensate the liquor store owners. We have a great working relationship with OLCC and fully support the current model of retailing distilled spirits in Oregon. It provides a safe and controlled environment for liquor sales while keeping it out of the hands of the minors and generates a great deal of revenue for the state. Passing the bill would incentivize agents to reinvest in their stores and would lead to increased sales and ultimately more revenue for the state. I urge you to see the merit of the bill. Please put yourself in our shoes and see if what we're asking for is unreasonable or unjustified. We are asking what is fair and not be penalized for losing not only our livelihood, but all we have worked for. I ask for your support for the three amendments to Senate Bill 141. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Steve?
Chair Beyer and members of the committee, my name is Steve Brown, and I'm a liquor store owner with stores in Lincoln City and Salem, Oregon. I am also a board member and past president of Associated Liquor Stores of Oregon. Senate Bill 141 before you today brings security to store owners throughout the state of Oregon with no cost to the state. This bill will only become relevant if any event causes the OLCC to dismantle, such as privatization. In 2014, this reality was facing Oregon and 250 store owners when the grocers attempted to privatize the state's distilled spirit sales. The language in the initiative relevant to liquor stores simply stated, number one, terminate all agents' contracts. Number two, Oregon Department of Administrative Services, DAS, shall take control of all properties and assets owned or leased by the OLCC. Number three, all properties and assets are to be sold by DAS. Number four, proceeds from the disposition of properties and assets shall first be applied to offset the cost of the OLCC to implement the act. Number five, the OLCC may, at its discretion and to the extent there are funds, compensate retail sales agent for termination of their agreement. Number six, provide severance payments to employees of the commission. If the current system were to change in such a way that the OLCC was prohibited from purchasing or selling distilled liquors, the provision of Senate Bill 141 would take effect. Agents would be entitled to a business loss compensation payment of 4% of the average annual gross distilled liquor sales from the previous 5 years for that store location. For a store averaging $2 million in annual sales, this would be a payment of $80,000. The business loss compensation fund would be paid from selling the assets of the OLCC, including the warehouse and inventory. With passage of Senate Bill 141, current store owners would have security that if the system changes, they would get back a portion of their original investment when they purchased their store. Benefits to the state, customers, and the industry, including the craft distilleries of Oregon, would be, number one, current store owners who have not modernized for a year due to privatization looming will now see the benefit of fresh paint, new fixtures, and flooring rather than saving every penny in case the state privatizes and they lose all of their investment. Number two, as current stores become available, better qualified applicants will be interested in investing in a store knowing that their investment is more secure. The third thing is the OLCC has to grow the number of stores for the future revenue. Finding a pool of qualified individuals to invest in the stores as they come online will be much easier if an interested candidate knows their investment is secure. Liquor store owners employ 1,400 people, and the industry supports several thousand more jobs. In order to preserve and build on these jobs and revenue for the state, we strongly urge your support of Senate Bill 141. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Patrick Beemans? Could be. I thought it was an M. I'm sorry. My apologies.
It's all right. Good afternoon, Chair Beyer and members of the committee. My name is Patrick Bernards. I am the co-founder of Bull Run Distilling Company out of Portland, Oregon. I also have the good fortune of serving on the board of the Oregon Craft Beverage Council, as well as the American Craft Spirits Association, and a member of the Oregon Distillers Guild and a previous president of the Guild as well. And all that less about bragging points and more about I've kind of been around the block a few times. I'm paying attention to what's going on. We actually have some other bills going through here at the state capitol. And I'm very happy to be here today in support of Senate Bill 141. The folks who sit behind me and the folks across the state who have liquor stores, they account for 60% of my business. Without them, I would not have a business. I think as our folks up north have shown, despite all the great rhetoric about, you know, doing better in the state of Washington as a privatized system, we learned very quickly that they were very wrong about that. I know you appreciate this point, Senator. It is imperative that we continue to see these business people have the ability to invest in their businesses, knowing that they're secure. Being able to, as was just pointed out by Steve Brown, that modernization of these stores is critical for the increased sales, which is obviously great for the state, but great for those of us who, some 70 of us now making distilled spirits in the state of Oregon, and that number is growing. Again, I think for now as well as into the future, I think what we saw happen up north is that you had many of these smaller stores that were the state-run stores stayed on to continue to try to sell product. Didn't work out so well. Our sales at the retail level in Washington State still suffer greatly. And so not only for these folks to have their security today, selfishly for me and my peers, and by the way, I can't sit here and say that I speak for all my peers officially. Unofficially, I will tell you I don't know of anybody who would oppose Senate Bill 141 from the distilled spirits industry in the state of Oregon, as well as in the state of Washington, for that matter. I think it's imperative that these folks feel stable financially, that should we, and I personally hope we don't, should we privatize, that they feel financially stable enough to potentially proceed as a privatized business. What's been shown to us over and over again, with few exceptions, and I'll speak for our business personally, though again I know of many others, the larger retail grocery stores and other large big box stores have not embraced us the way that we had been told initially. We're starting to see that change a little bit, which is comforting, but I would venture to say, based on what the evidence has been, we will still rely heavily on the small businessmen in the state of Oregon, and I believe it will be the folks sitting behind me and, again, their peers across the state. So that's my testimony today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
That's all I had signed up. Does anybody else wish to testify on this bill? If not, Mr. Marks, you didn't sign up, but does OLCC have some kind words for this bill? Or any words?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Steve Marks, Executive Director of OLCC. First off, the OLCC doesn't have a position on this legislation, but I do want to put some context there. The people behind me have moved us from 1.1 to 1.2 billion in next biennium projected in terms of revenue. They're very integral to that part of our system, and it is true they face several risks within the system, the threat of privatization being one. I'm greatly appreciative of the work the agents have done here by not actually limiting the risk they have under our contractual process with them. We have a tremendous amount of authority under the contracts that we have with them, and they face risks from that every day. We're now talking about expanding our system in a measured way, working closely with them to do that. As a part of that process, I think we do need to look at our contracts with them to make them more accountable on a two-way street here as we move forward. So we're doing a tremendous amount of work together. This is one of the risks, and I appreciate how much of a dampening effect it has had in the past on our investments. We're trying to move forward, generate new investments. As Senator Monroe knows in our presentation to the Budget Committee, we are looking at expanding the warehouse. We need to meet demand. And so this is one part, I think, in that overall picture for your consideration. Obviously, it's a legislative prerogative and not one of the OLCC itself.
Thank you. It's probably fair to say that without the agents, you'd have a warehouse full of liquor.
Yeah, exactly. Highly bonded. Thank you.
Question?
Well, don't run off yet. Damn. Question, Senator Monroe?
Yeah, Steve. Oregon has a burgeoning small craft distillery business that's expanding all the time. Does the Oregon system, you make those products that are sometimes in fairly small amounts more available than they would be, say, under the Washington system?
Sure. Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, absolutely. no, but our repack facility in Southwark, I mean, and, you know, I've only been there a short while, a year and a half now, learned a tremendous amount about our system. And I'm really impressed what we do with repack, with the small quantities, and what we're able to do with our craft distillers. They have 12% of our distilled spirits revenue stream in Oregon. Nothing to sneeze at, an important part of our economy. As Chairman Beyer knows, and I think we sent this committee the task force economic report earlier, a tremendous amount of economic contribution statewide from our system. Our agents are an integral part of that, so are the distilleries here in Oregon. As is wineries, you know, and the winery side, the grape is now the number one fruit crop. So.
Well, Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Just a comment. You know, supporting small entrepreneurs that develop quality craft, whether it be distilled spirits or wines or beers, is the Oregon way. And I like it that way. Thank you.
Senator Monroe, I'm just... for your information, during the task force, OLCT task force that we had over the interim, visited a lot, went over to Bend and spent a day with the commission and talking with the people out of the emerging distilled business. It was amazing what they've done. And in fact, we've passed a couple of bills based on that already this session out of this committee. So we're very much there. And I would encourage you, if you haven't, visit Mr. Brown's store on South End of Salem, and has a special section just of the Oregon spirits there. It's a very unique store. I'm assuming others do too, but that just happens to be the one that I visited in town here. And it's to the I hope
you go there a lot,
huh? I've only been to Mr. Brown's store once.
Okay,
and I don't live in Salem.
I'm not saying we dabble.
I wanted to see it because he also is one of the first that put in growler fill station. It's quite an impressive merchandising. So hopefully with this assurance, we'll get a little more of the upgrading of some of the stores. Yep. Senator.
Oh, I'm good.
You're good now?
Yep, I'm good.
You forgot?
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I just might add, as Senator Monroe knows and you are aware, the agents have an interesting proposal to change our compensation formula to encourage the very kind of store that right. Steve put in place. So while that's outside, you know, make it clear for the record, it is outside our budget and outside this committee in ways and means. It's a proposal that has some intrigue because it does give them the opportunity to alleviate some of that risk of making investment. And so if directed by the legislature, we'd be happy to implement that in the formula. And we would consider it on our own volition if you didn't provide the extra revenue through the legislature.
That was one of the suggestions that came out of the task force.
Yeah.
To the extent that you could talk to the Ways and Means Subcommittee members, yeah. I encourage that.
I'd be further remiss not to recognize Senator Girard, who sat through our compensation committee and contracts, and greatly appreciative.
Including the session on marijuana.
I might have mentioned that our budget director, who is there, never had in 25 years of history an audience that would listen to him on how the compensation formula actually works. So you guys were the first. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 141. The chair moves Senate Bill... Okay. The chair moves the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 141. James, you want to refresh us on what those are?
Sure. The Dash 3 amendment changes the entire bill. It creates provisions for persons appointed to operate a store established by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to receive payments of 4% of the average annual sales from the previous 5 years, if and only if the system for selling containers of distilled liquor at retail in the state changes after the person assumes operation of the store. Creates provisions to fund the business loan compensation fund from proceeds from selling the assets of the OLCC. Declares emergency effective on passage.
In other words, it's a gotten stuff, and it's what we just heard. Discussion on the motion.
I need to.
Senator Gerard.
I need to declare a potential conflict in that my brother has a tackle shop, but inside the tackle shop is a small liquor store.
Okay. Any other discussion or conflicts?
Is why Senator Gerard fishes so much?
Tackle, beer, it all kind of goes together. Is there any opposition to the amendment, to the motion? The amendment's adopted. The chair moves Senate Bill 141 as amended by the Dash 3 amendments with a to the floor with the do-pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion on that motion. Is there any opposition to the motion?
Can I ask a question?
You can ask a question.
Are you sure that's the one you want to do, the Ways and Means? I think that's for the next bill, because that's a double step.
No, that's just an ask.
Yeah. Never had nothing.
This one. Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah. Let me recant that. I thought it did.
That's a first, I think.
Pull that back. We'll just move it to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. I was wrong on that. Discussion on it. Thank you. Is there any opposition? Senate Bill 141... moves to the floor with a do-pass recommendation as amended by the Dash 3s, and the chair will carry. We'll close on that.
You get all the fun.
Unless,
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I'm happy to share. All right, so we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 329. We've heard this one before, but James will refresh us. Just a second. Yes, Senator.
Don't they know if we pass their bill in committee, they have to stay for the rest of the whole hearing?
You can't be leaving now. Oh, okay.
You can go.
Yeah. They're setting up the party tent outside.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. I'll give it a second. Yeah. Do I have something on this?
Oh, we have a room, can't we?
Yeah. Well, we know where the interest is.
Fishing tackle.
Fishing tackle.
Yeah, goes together if you think about it.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Where's your brother's store?
Mill City.
All right, now, James.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 329 increases annual fee imposed on public utilities and telecommunications providers from a maximum of 0.25% of the utility's gross operating revenue to a maximum of 0.3% for purposes of the defraying cost of the Public Utility Commission. Declares emergency effective on passage. There is no revenue impact. We have a fiscal light, and it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. I have it open in public hearing. Does anybody want to comment on it? We've heard a lot before. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 329. There are no amendments, right?
Correct.
So the chair moves Senate Bill 329 to the floor with a do-pass, and this one has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, the bill is passed with the due pass and goes to Ways and Means. All right, so we'll close on that. We'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 286. James.
Mr. Chair, Committee members, Senate Bill 286 increases maximum civil penalties from $10,000 per event per day with a maximum of $500,000 to $200,000 per event per day with a maximum of $2 million for violating statutes that provide for regulation of hazardous substance by the Public Utility Commission, clarifies process for imposition of civil penalty and where monies collected are deposited, declares emergency effective upon passage. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Okay, so just for clarity, Michael. I'm recalling back from our testimony before, and this is basically to be in compliance with the federal rules so that they will keep paying for the service.
Good afternoon, Chair Vaio, members of the committee. That's the case.
And from memory, have we ever issued a fine?
In my recollection, we issued one fine in about the last 5 years. That was to Avista, and that had to do with record keeping, and it was settled, so it never went past the settlement.
You happen to remember approximately what the fine range was?
Chair Byer, members of the committee, I believe it was $40,000.
$40,000. Okay. Discussion. Are there any other questions I should ask first? No questions? All righty. Thank you, Michael. So anybody else wish to testify in this while I got it open? We'll close the public hearing. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 286. Chair moves Senate Bill 286 with a due pass to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Big numbers. Hopefully we never see them. No discussion. Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none. Senate Bill 286 is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass, and the chair will carry.
Oh, I was going to say the chair needs to carry that one.
I was thinking you were going to volunteer, but it's... So I did close. So that we are at the end of the agenda. Are we correct?
Boy, this is a record.
Quick one. All righty. If there's nothing else, we are adjourned for the day. We are adjourned for the day.